Recently, we heard from a young immigrant from Mexico, the country from which the vast majority of DACA recipients arrived. Some 79% are from Mexico, and most of the rest came from elsewhere in Central and South America. But among the recipients who don't come from there, most came from South Korea. Dan Lee is one of them. He was born in Korea, and he's now a fourth-year student of political science at American University. He was nice enough to join us here at our studios in Washington, D.C. Dan Lee, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
First, would you just tell us a little bit about your story? How old were you when you came, and why did your family come?
I was about 6 or 7-ish when we immigrated to the U.S. My parents, they grew up in South Korea, and they have a crush on the American education system, which they regard as one of the highest in the world. According to them, we came here on a tourist visa, or one of the visas out there, and we wanted to stay here for educational purposes and eventually go back. But they saw how well my little brother and I were adjusting in the United States, and they decided, you know what, we'll apply for an immigrant visa, and we'll apply for a green card eventually. But unfortunately, things didn't work out because my parents, they were scammed by a supposed immigration attorney. And, you know, my parents didn't speak English, they didn't know how the American system worked, they didn't know the laws here, and they just assumed that, oh, if we hire an attorney, everything will work out. Turns out it didn't.
Do you remember how old you were when you realized that your legal status was precarious?
I always knew it in the back of my mind, but it didn't really hit me until I was looking for a part-time job in high school, and I applied for a job. And I thought I aced the interview and everything, and then they're like, great, we'll need your documents, you know, your social security number. And I asked my mom, like, hey, mom, where's all my documents and stuff like this? And my mom's like, yeah, you don't have any of those.
Do you remember thinking then about what it would mean for your future if you didn't have those documents? Do you remember kind of recognizing the impact of that?
Well, when I realized I was undocumented around, like, 15, like, that's when it really hit me. And I started doing a lot of research on it, on, like, what it means to be undocumented, like, why do people call us illegals and stuff like that. And I guess it was a tumultuous time. I was very, like, afraid for my future because I realized, oh, wait, I can't get a job. I'm not eligible for any financial aid. I wanted to have a career in civil service, and I realized I couldn't do any of those things, and it was very depressing. This was before DACA was introduced, so I thought, oh no, like, given the historical data, like, I see that Congress has tried to tackle immigration reform so many times, and they've mostly failed over and over again, and I realized there's just simply no hope, and I was going, like, what is the point of me even trying in school? What is the point of me doing anything if I'm not going to be able to have a career or be able to, I guess, be normal?
Did that have an effect on you? I mean, did you stop going to school?
I did.
So how did you get back on track? You obviously did. I mean, you did wind up going to college.
My family has always been a very strong supporter. And I guess my brother also really did help a lot because he would say, like, you can't just wallow in self-despair because, you know, one day there's going to be an opportunity that's going to come by, and you have to be ready to seize it.
What made you decide to come here today and talk with us? I mean, we're glad you did, but what made you decide to come and talk with us?
You know, like how people say, don't let yourself live in fear, and you see all these, like, activists out there going, like, I won't let myself live in fear, and I was thinking to myself, like, what are you talking about? I live in fear. Like, this is, like, I can't just say that. And, like, I haven't actually told anybody that I was a DACA recipient until my girlfriend, actually. And I realized it's almost liberating. And that feeling is incredible.
What's your hope for the future? What's the hope? What's your hope for your future?
What do you mean, hope for my future?
What's your hope? What do you hope will happen? What do you want to do?
I just want to, I guess, live that normal life where this issue isn't popping up and putting us in limbo, because what I think is one of the worst fears or one of the worst aspects of this entire situation is it's the waiting. It's the unknown, the uncertainty, and there's a lot of, you know, back and forth between the White House and Congress right now, but it's the fact that we don't know what's going to happen. I wish they could just say it to get me out of this limbo. It's like, when you're on a chair and you lean a little too back and you're just about to fall, right? And it's feeling of that, like, perpetual falling feeling. I just want to know if I'm going to be able to keep what I built here. I want to be able to, one day, own a house, have a family, have a job, and watch football on Sundays, peacefully.
That's Dan Lee. He's a fourth-year student of political science at American University here in Washington, D.C. He's a DACA recipient. He was kind enough to join us here at our studios in Washington, D.C. Dan Lee, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.